And see, this morning is a little different, but it's all about praising God for what he's done. And isn't it great to be able to see the kids and the young people be able to share with us the story? This morning, I'm going to interview three different people who are going to share what God has been doing in their lives and things that are on their heart. The first one is a person that I have been trying to do an interview with since August of this past year. And due to her scheduling, hasn't been able. I'm going to invite you up, Ev, to come up. See, Ev is, when you know her or when you see her, she's usually on the keyboard over here. But when she's not, she's usually not here at church. Have a seat.
Down?
Sure.
That's a lazy job. Okay.
And you're going to have to keep the mic up close to your mouth.
Like this. Okay. So.
And because you see, when she's not here, she is serving others, and she serves clients and looks after them. And but when she's here, she loves to be on the keyboard. So I had the privilege about 2 weeks ago to sneak in on something that I believe you guys do regularly every Monday morning or afternoon, and that was with Ev and B. And just hearing the stories that were on their hearts of what God has been doing. And so we're going to go through some of those. And so the first question, the first one is, tell us stories of how God brought you into working with the colleges about 10 years ago.
Okay, before I go into that.
You know who's in control?
We're teachers. One thing Steve did tell me, he says, if I want to do some other stories, I can. You did tell that to me.
I did. Go ahead.
One thing that I want to clarify, in the last past few years of my life has been quite a struggle. I've had lots of trials. My sister died, my brother was sent to prison, and I lost my job unjustly. So going through a lot of trials in life was really, really hard at that time. But you know one thing I really found out? God is a God of detail. All he expects us to do is to pray in faith, trust him and obey, and just be there. He'll take care of the details. Sometimes we feel like we need to take it all in control, and we need to plan it all, but God has really showed me in my life that that has been something in the last past few years that he has really controlled. And one thing that Steve was saying is that God has brought me into the position I'm in right now I'm a nurse, as a clinical instructor. And most of my life, I've been a nurse for 43 years. God has led me when I've gone back through looking at where I am now. I had a plan that I was going to work in a facility, and that's where my job was supposed to be. You know how long it took me before I actually fell into God's plan? 30 years. You know, it took me to the point where I look back in my life where God has brought me into a service of working with dementia people. That is a real niche in my life, and it just seems like Dolly and I were talking the other day about the fact is when we're with dementia people, it's like we're dementia whisperers, is that they just calm down, but we figured out it's the Holy Spirit within us. You know, and God has been really, really trailing me in all my different jobs. And so when I came to Nanaimo, I was still in a dementia facility job and that whatever, and then I lost my job again, and God led me to a college that I took my business course and pharmacy tech. Sorry, Steve.
That's okay. And that whatever.
And,
talk away.
And as I was doing that course, I finished the course in the year, I realized that that's not where God wanted me. But you know what he prepared me for? He prepared me that the people that were at the college, out of like 3/4 of the staff were Christians, you know, and what a wonderful preparation to be able to spend time in prayer. Even though I was in clinical, they were in the classroom. We were able to pray over the students. We were able to pray for the college. Every day, every week is what we did. And when the college went into trouble, we actually spent time in prayer, and God changed many hearts. And so God led me into this job of when I was doing my business in my pharmacy tech. I finished my job, and I was gone for a couple of months doing private care and that, whatever, not really knowing what to do. relying on that verse in the Bible in Ephesians 1:18, where open my eyes, Lord. Open my heart, right? Mm-hmm. Let me see where you want me. And all of a sudden, the director phoned me. He was a Christian, the director at that time, phoned me and said to me, would you mind just taking a class for one month, you know, in nursing, teaching, you know, medical terminology? Well, that was 10 years ago. You know, and so God really led me into this position by experience and just because that's where he wanted me to be. Do you want me to end there?
Doing great.
Do you want me to talk about the students now?
Yeah, absolutely. Because students I know in your life have been incredible.
Absolutely. And one thing that I was talking about where you know, some days in my, some days I just stop in the middle of the day. Have you ever just stopped in the middle of the day and took a deep breath and looked up and said, oh, that was a God thing? So many things in my life in the last past 3 years especially have been God things through prayer. And God just said, you know, pray, Ev, just trust in me. I've got this at hand. And sometimes, you know, it's not easy. Sometimes you have doubt and fear, but doubt and fear does not come from the Lord. Stay in prayer is one thing. And one thing that I really enjoyed, I love teaching, by the way. I love being a clinical instructor, and God has given that to me for 10 years now. And another little area that God, with my students, is that students can be challenging if there's any teachers in this room. And that, whatever, they can be very challenging at times, especially this new generation. But you know, God planted Christian students in my group. What a wonderful thing to have, to know that you've got Christian students. There was many days when, as you know, in certain careers, some of the nurses here, healthcare workers, we have boundaries with our directors. We're not allowed to talk about our faith. We're not allowed to talk about our religion status or anything. But I thought, you know what, I'm not worried about that because God is the God, again, of detail, right? I just need to pray for him to give me opportunities to speak to these students, to be an influence. Even though they hired me, you know, for my experience, you know, and that whatever, God had a different plan. And so I had students some days in my class that would actually say, you know, before we go on a shift, just come in the room, I need to talk with you for a second. They said, can we please pray, there's two of them, can we please pray just before we start our shift? We need to pray because of these other students and the residents, and that's excellent. Sometimes students would just, actually on Facebook, you know, I'm on Facebook, a few people, and knowing the fact is that I post a lot of stuff on there, and I know that it's kind of a lot of stuff to read all the time, but you know what? Behind the scenes is unbelievable what happens with students. I have students, because some of the students that come into my class don't have any mothers. They need a mentor in that whatever. God has placed me there for a mentor, just to be a mother when some of them are pregnant, on knowing what to do, just behind the scenes on anything. When some of them are really down in the dumps, they have no money. It's very interesting how our clothesline comes up just at the right time when students are talking to me about that. There's a God thing again. And sometimes their students will just, you know, want me. They actually even put it on Facebook one day, you know, Ev, and that whatever, my mom's in palliative, I need some scripture, can you give me some scripture? Or behind the scenes, students want me to pray for them. That is really, really wonderful. I just, the rapport I have with my students, and that's where God wants me to be. And so I was let go with that college for a bit, but you know, in the meantime, next one.
You're doing great.
In the meantime, I didn't find a job right away, and that whatever, you know, and as, you know, I just felt like I was just sitting at home doing nothing. And as nurses, you all know that we can't sit around just doing nothing, and that whatever, you know. So God really led upon my heart again. Ephesians 1:18. Open my eyes of my heart, Lord. Direct me where you want to be. And so I decided to start a walking group with ladies, and I put that on Facebook every day. We're going to start here at 10 o'clock every morning. Whoever wants to come, show up, let's go have a walk time. Christians, non-Christians, right? Well, you know, every time I would go on those walks, I would pray before I go that God, whoever is there today, God, just allow your spirit to be moved. And sometimes it was a pure laughter time. Sometimes we actually even walked and that whatever. And sometimes it was a real time of direction, you know, in that whatever, a God time. Sometimes there was a lot of crying going on. Sometimes there was 12 ladies. Sometimes there was just by myself. Or there was a lady that needed to be with me so that we could talk. That was just a wonderful God thing. And so in that time, God has given that time to me to serve. And he placed upon my heart, too, that I needed to spend time with the elderly because I missed my elderly. And that's when God brought B into my life, you know, a couple of years ago. But spending more time with B, she loves music. I love music. We love playing in five flats, both of us. And one thing that B likes is coffee. I love coffee, too, as you guys all know from Facebook. But the most important thing was we had such God times. We had prayer times and coffee times, and we talked. She's a wonderful mentor. I've just had such a wonderful couple of years with B, and we're going to continue on for another 40 years.
That's great, Ev, and that's a great way of inviting B to come up. And so if you would go get B, and she's going to share with us this morning as well. B is an amazing lady. And if you've ever sat down and talked with her, you know, she has many secrets. And we actually might dig into some of those secrets today. Have a seat. I think there's lots that we can learn from her. Someone has not told her that she's getting older. She's a teenager. So here's our token teenager. And, you know, it's interesting because when I sat down with her and I took notes of what we were going to talk about, and then I left, and I do have them here on my iPad. This morning I got handed a new card, which is great. And so welcome, Bea, and I really look forward to this time together of sharing. I know that Scripture is important to you. So that's a good place to start, isn't it?
Now, what's the first thing?
I'm going to get you to put that up there, close to your mouth. And so you have several verses, and you might want to write these down because these are important verses to her. Psalm 51.
I'll start with that. They'll say that God has done so much for me in my life because I've had cancer twice in 80 and 82 and the third one in 98. And a detached iron. Now, when I heard about that, I felt that I can't worry about my lung. I want to see. I didn't think at all. I went to the hospital with a black eye, with a black face, rather, all over. And I just couldn't. My time was up, and I had to go. And the doctors noticed, people noticed what I had, a black face looking at me. But I had that off, and in 5 days I went home. And I just depended on God. I trust in God in everything. I've learned more to trust God than any other is through illness, I think. I totally can do nothing on my own. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, but I can do nothing without him. Mm-hmm. And I praise and thank God that I can be active, because when I do go to aerobics, if they ask me and say to me, or to volleyball, they say to me, how can you do that? And I said, because I've got faith. And if I don't have faith, then I couldn't do this.
Now, did you note that? She plays volleyball. Okay?
Not good.
She has played volleyball for quite a few years. But she's used it as a ministry. And there has been people who have come over to your house. And when they come over to your house, what do they want to do?
Well, what they do, they always talk about all those things, and they want to see, and I can witness that way. I've been speaking to many people that I say to them, if I didn't have faith, I couldn't do this. It's through faith that I do this.
And you have an organ, and they want you to play the organ.
That's right. They do, too. But my problem is, I know a few love songs and things, but right now I can't see to pick up a book. I can't see very well, but I will, as you know, I believe.
But they love hearing you play hymns.
But they like me to play hymns.
Yeah.
They do, and I play hymns.
Yeah. So let's talk about prayer, because I know prayer is important to you.
Yes,
and
yes.
Just in case any of you are wanting to contact Bea, do not contact her first thing in the morning. When she has breakfast, that first hour and a half is her and God's time. So don't call her. Okay? She spends about an hour and a half, right?
That's right.
So tell us why is that important to you?
Pardon me?
Why is that prayer time important to you?
I didn't quite get you.
Why is the prayer time?
Yes,
important.
It's very important to me because all the young people that are in this building, they don't realize how I love young people and all children, all people. I pray for them all. They need to know that someone is praying for them to keep solid and firm in God's word, and to protect them from all unrighteousness and the shield of God upon them all the time.
Yeah. And you had a wonderful husband, Ray.
I did.
You want to tell us, and one of the things I know that you guys did a lot of things together.
Yes, we
including
did.
Motorbikes. but do you want to share just your why it was important to spend time with
him? With Jim and Maureen, or Jim and Larry, we had two boys, and we skied a lot and did things together. We always did things together and bike riding. And Wendy went on motorcycles. Well, I wasn't going to stay home alone. And I started riding. We went all over we used to ride with him on the back of the motorbike. And then we'd go to different places like Merritt or different places for a ride and for a tea or a coffee. But skiing was one of our favorites.
So you did a lot of things together.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And your family encouraged you to move down here, which we're glad that they did.
Our family, we were so glad. It happened to be 2004 when we came to Nanaimo here to visit Jim and Maureen and then go to Powell River where Larry was at that time. And when we were here, they all were at Jim's and they said, we'd like to ask if you'd like to move to Nanaimo. And we were hesitant because we have a lot of friends there and we didn't think we would. But then we came home and we thought it over. And we phoned them back. They got the building here and we sold our house in a few days. It went so fast and the house and the condo was ready here for us. Everything turned out so beautiful. God had it planned all because we loved it so much that when we came here, we were here 1 month. It'll be 12 years on the 1st of May. And then Ray passed away June the 1st. That was hard for me. But here again, I thought, well, if I don't trust my Lord, I can't make it because I never like to be alone. But I'm here today, and I thank God he took him because he had a massive heart attack. Excuse me. And he would have been like a vegetable if he had come. So I just praise the Lord for everything.
Yeah.
I have much to thank God for.
And B, I know one of the things that's on your heart is revival.
Pardon?
One of the things that's on your heart is revival.
Oh, is it ever? I pray for revival every day. And I pray for the Rainbow Street, whatever you call that there. I didn't know what it was until Evelyn told me what it was. And I pray for that. When Christian people walk across there, that they're going to pray. And when these people that are involved in it will tremble and get that God will heal that. Mm-hmm. And we'll have revival in all over the world, but in Nanaimo at the present.
Good.
In every way.
So B is one of our prayer warriors here in this church. She's prayed for you over the years, prayed for the young people that are at Cape and Ray. You know, you're a blessing to have in our midst. I encourage you, if you have never sat down and talked with B, to do that. She has many rich stories of what God has done in her life. And she will focus you back on Christ, where our hearts need to be. So thank you, Bea. Appreciate that.
Sorry, I'm so deaf. I can't help it.
You're doing great. All right. And the next person I'm going to invite up is no stranger to any of you. It's Pastor Gray. Of course, he was our senior pastor here for many years. And he served in different capacities, not just in the church here, but also chaplain. And we're going to have a little chat about that.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. It's been a while since the two of us have shared the stage together.
Yeah, I welcome it.
Yeah, good, good. Me too. That's why I invited you. So, you know, as a senior pastor here, and you did a great job of looking after the congregation here. But I know your heart wasn't just here with the congregation. Your heart was also with veterans. Tell us about that, and tell us about the whole chaplaincy, where you saw God at work in the chaplaincy.
Well, when I first came to this church, those who were in leadership will remember this. I had said to our elders board, I want to have one ministry beyond the four walls of this church. I want to be in community. And it was my friend Bob Ducharme, who at that time was president of the Korea Veterans Association. And he said, can we have a coffee? And I said, sure. He said, I'd like you to give consideration to being a chaplain for the Korea Veterans Association Unit 61 here in Nanaimo.
Now, is that something you had ever done before?
No.
It was new.
It was brand new. If you want to have a learning curve, take on a challenge where you don't know anything. And watch what God does, because God was obviously at work. And when I accepted that role, and it was approved through the Korea Veterans Association, it opened up all kinds of doors for me, for which I am very, very grateful. So for 23 years, I have served as chaplain for the Korea Veterans. I also serve as chaplain with the Legion, Royal Canadian Legion 256 here in Nanaimo, which has only added another dynamic to all that I'm involved in chaplaincy.
Good, good. And is there any specific story that you can just remember of working with any of the guys that just demonstrated God at work in their lives? I'm sure there's plenty.
I have lots of stories. I get reports from 27 chaplains in this district that I'm responsible for, and I get them twice a year, of things God is doing in their area of work. They work with the RCMP, they work with the firefighters and rescue, they work with the military, they work with healthcare, they work in corporate work with corporations. So we have many, many exciting stories. But before I get into that story, I want to start with another story. It was back in the First World War, which is important because of today. But a chaplain who was on duty serving with the troops in France said to the men, I want to give you this New Testament and the Psalms because many of you will face moments of fear and terror and uncertainty. And I want you to know that this is a book about God's love. And what God wants you to know, even as you may be fighting for the freedom of other people, God wants to have a relationship with you. So he gave them all a New Testament. And these men took the New Testament. Some of them left them in their bunk. Others tucked them in their pocket. And when they went out to fight in conflict, and this man's battalion was called to serve, he was on the front lines and he got shot. And as blood was pooling in his chest, they put a pressure pad on his chest and on a gurney took him to the medical tent to be cared for. And as they opened up his jacket, they noticed this in his pocket. This is an actual copy of the New Testament that soldiers were given from the king in England. And there was a hole right through the top corner of that New Testament. And the bullet went through there and pierced his chest, but it was not a life-threatening wound. And as he was talking to the doctors who were attending to him, this blood-soaked New Testament, he said to them, "This little book saved my life." They called the chaplain in to have a word of prayer with him. And he said to the chaplain, "Your gift of this New Testament to me saved my life." And the chaplain said to him, "I want to talk to you about the author of this little book who will literally save your soul." And he personally committed his life to Christ in that medical tent on that afternoon during the First World War. Folks, God is doing some absolutely amazing things, and he is working his purposes into the lives of people through the Word. One of the reasons I like serving as a chaplain is because the Korea veterans and the Legion have said to me, "You can say anything you want to us." You talk about an open door. Every meeting in the Legion, I have the opportunity to open the meeting, and I can say anything I want. So you know me well enough that I'm not short of illustrations. I take illustrations from sermons I've preached with you folk, and I use them in the Legion to demonstrate how great God is and that God can make a difference in their life. So now once you have won their friendship, they say, "Would you come to our house?" I say, "Sure." They'll put on the coffee pot and I say, "Change it, just the kettle with a bag of tea."
I'm with you.
Yep, and they do. Once they know you care about them, they say, "We want you to enter into our life. Would you do my funeral? Will you visit someone I know who's sick in the hospital? Will you help us with a financial issue we're facing?" So it's just really, for me, an ongoing ministry that I have learned to love, and I thank God for it.
That's good. We just have a few minutes left, but I noticed that the Canadian flag is off to the side here, and it's... The flag isn't all the way up to the top like it normally is. You want to talk to us about that?
Yeah, the flag is at half mast. Now, it's at half mast. This is three quarters because you don't want the flag on the floor. Every Canadian flag today is at half mast. And the reason is it's the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of Vimy Ridge. And when the Canadian soldiers joined with the French and with the British, and they conquered Vimy Ridge, they built a monument that is one of the largest monuments in the entire world. The monument in Vimy Ridge is 90 feet high. If any of you had your TVs on this morning, you would have seen pictures of it. Thousands of people gathered there at Vimy Ridge. There are 20 full-stature human figurines carved into that limestone. And by the way, the limestone is not from France. The limestone for that monument is from Croatia. And so they brought over these huge, huge limestone rocks that were quarried out of Croatia. And it took them 11 years to build that monument. And that monument was dedicated, as David was saying, in 1936 by the King of England. And then in 2007, our own Queen Elizabeth II rededicated that monument. And it has stood as a lasting memory for the world for three main reasons. One, Faith. Faith. Second, justice. And thirdly, hope. So on that particular monument are the names of the soldiers who fell. 11,285 Canadians gave their lives in service for freedom when the Germans were trying to conquer the world. There are 742 unknown graves in France. So we go way back in history to the tomb of the unknown soldier. But we begin to recognize again that one of the reasons we have it at half mass from coast to coast in Canada is to honor the 100,000 plus men and women who served in the First World War, and 11,285 of them gave their lives. So when we think about it, we need to come again to say today, we enjoy the freedom that is ours because somebody else paid the supreme sacrifice.
Pastor Gray, I know it's on your heart to pray this morning, especially for the families and for those that were involved with that. Will you lead us in prayer? And I'm going to ask the congregation if you would stand as we, as Pastor Gray leads us in prayer.
I'm going to pray a prayer right out of our manual from the Legion. I love working with these folk because they say you can use scripture. So for me, that's a wonderful open door. But they have penned prayers in the manual for chaplains to use for all kinds of occasions. And this is most suited for what we have this morning. Join with me. Father of mercies and giver of all comfort, we commend to your compassion all who are in trouble, sorrow, or distress, and especially at this time, the disabled and the wounded and all who must carry through the years a burden of suffering. Extend to them your healing and help. Let not our gratitude fail or grow weary, but deepen our sympathy that we may bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Visit with your comfort the sorrowful and the bereaved, especially those whose hearts this day bring back the proud but grievous memory of loved ones fallen on the field of honor, and grant to them your peace, O God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us and has provided for us. We ask this in your strong name. Amen.
Thank you. And now you can stay standing as the music team comes up.